Giving gifts that have a meaning rather than just need batteries. We need to think through some of the gifts we give and make sure they have meaning and they connect to a thought at Christmas.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. This week, we're talking about managing your Christmas traditions, as you're probably already going through a lot of Christmas traditions in your house, things you do with the kids, things you do with your family, things that you're preparing to do on the big Christmas day. And it's an exciting time to give gifts. It's exciting as parents, of course, to go shopping for gifts and all that. And you try to connect the dots that God gave us the greatest gift, which is Jesus. The Magi gave gifts to Jesus, and we give gifts to each other. You connect the dots, but it is a lot of hoopla at the end of the day.
How did we get from there? How did we get from the first Christmas, the Magi gave gifts to Jesus, to all of a sudden we give nothing to the birthday being, and we give gifts to each other and expect, we've come to expect gifts. The Magi really didn't come to expect anything but encountering the king that cracked into time. The king and creator of the universe, asking for the king of the Jews. They obviously knew it was more than that when their knees buckle, I think. And it says they went away different. Now, it means they went away a different route and didn't go through Jerusalem. But I think there's also a subliminal statement. They came out of Christmas different. I want my children to come out of Christmas different, not just having to make more space in their closet for more stuff. Think of this thought. What if an alien from another planet came and we couldn't see him? He was invisible. And he was given your house. I want you to observe Ruthie's house or Bob's house at Christmas. And you can start December 1st and come January 1st and come back to our solar system and explain to us, okay, what is Christmas all about? What would the takeaway be? And I think the takeaway would be, you know what? They get really jacked over purchasing a lot of things. I think the takeaway is this is the way this culture has decided to try to end the year in the black for commerce, but not for people, because people ended the year in the red with having to pay for helping commerce and the economy end the year in the black. And so they've got it upside down and backwards. And this alien in your house is watching people supposed to be happy, but happy for a minute, and watching little children really give the greatest advice. The two-year-olds empty the box and climb in, and they're having fun in the container rather than what it contained. And so what are we missing here? I think we need to think through the tradition. And one tradition we're going to talk about today is giving gifts that make a statement, giving gifts that have a hook in them that are much, much bigger than the gift. And it's one of two ways. One is giving gifts to each other, and one is the giving gifts to Jesus that have a statement. My dad taught us, interestingly, using the gift, and I've used this illustration before in here, but it was so meaningful in my marriage, and it was so subliminal in the action of actually doing it. And forgive me for telling this story twice, but it was huge in my marriage. He would take the boys, when my mom was still alive, he would take the boys into Manhattan. We grew up outside of Manhattan, and we would go probably to Macy's, although my brother believes it was Lord & Taylor's. We do two things. We go to a great restaurant that was tailored to kids, where a Lionel train delivered your burger. It was the Choo Choo Something Burger Place.
It was awesome.
And I sit at the counter, and the Lionel train delivered it, and the guy in the middle stopped right in front of you, and you took it off. And every year we went there. But then we would go to either Lord & Taylor's or Macy's to the negligee department, and my dad would buy my mom a negligee, and it was brutal. It was brutal. It was painful. It was brutal. He'd make us go with him. We'd ask if we could meet him someplace else. And he would actually hold it up next to him and say, "What do you think, boys?"
How old were you?
Oh, all my life. All my life till I was...
And you understood...
Till she died at 16. Yeah. Yeah.
And you understood the way the world turns?
Oh, yeah. And it was for mom. And he wanted us there for that purchase. We couldn't figure it out. We figured it must be because it's near the Choo Choo whatever burger place. That's what he bought her in front of us. And that's all we did. We'd leave the store. That was it. A couple of years, he helped us pick out things to purchase there for her, but not in the negotiation department, that's for sure. Get me out of this
that
department.
Would be weird.
I just want to cover my eyes the whole time we're in the thing, and I'm the oldest boy. And it wasn't until, you know, years and years into my marriage, 5 or 6 years, we finished Christmas, and Rosemary is awesome. And I looked at her, though, her face expresses everything. And I said, "Wow, I just didn't knock it dead, did I? And I thought I'd get everything that you wanted on your list." And she said, "Well, maybe there's things on my list I'm not going to put that you have to figure out." And I said, "Like what?" And she said, "I don't know. You have to figure them out." And I said, "Well, what are we talking about here? Because I'm not getting this one at all." and you're going to have to help me. And she said, well, I don't want anything more this year. This was awesome. But maybe next year, if you could give me something that lets me know I'm still sexy to you. Mm. And this was probably after the birth of our first child. Mm. And she's working on the body thing and getting it wherever she thought it needed to be. It's always been perfect to me, but wherever she needed it to be. And I realized, oh, it's the nightgown. Mm. It's the nightgown.
Like your dad.
My dad got these really hardly any fabric nightgowns, see-through things or whatever it was. It was just, wow, what are we doing here? That's the last thing I want to see my mom in. And he was teaching us. Mm-hmm. He was teaching us. And he couldn't sit us down at any point in our lives and say, when you're married, you need to buy your wife sexy things. Mm-hmm. Whoa, Dad, done here. I'm done with this conversation. Can we just go shoot hoop out front? And realizing he was role modeling for us. And I will never, ever, ever forget taking Roby, when he was about 8, into the nightgown section of somewhere. And it was in Victoria's Secret before they had the Victoria's Secret special, which we decided to boycott Victoria's Secret from that point on when they started doing near pornography on television.
Right.
But prior to that, and taking Roby in, and he grabbed something. How about this for Mom, Dad? Which I didn't even know what that was.
In front of the whole store,
in front
right?
of the store. It terrified me. Put that down. I'm getting. We're out of here. But beginning the lesson of teaching your boys a real great, awesome secret about the husband-wife tradition that no one really teaches them. And so I think giving gifts that have meaning. One of the gifts that we always gave our children was a toy for my generation. Marbles.
One year every year,
different toy. Marbles. Another year, a yo-yo. Which is funny, they're kind of back, but they weren't when my kids were growing up, a yo-yo. 1 year for Tori, a ball and jacks,
mm-hmm.
and just a fun toy that's not around anymore.
They're in the dollar store because they're so cheap.
They are in the dollar store, exactly right. And go in there and get them old maid cards and play that. And each year they got a toy that was from my generation of kids. And we'd play it Christmas night and be laughing. And at first they would say, oh, this is so lame. And then we'd get rolling with it. And then we'd start having fun with it. And 1 year we actually took out a vase in the house with the yo-yo. But I wouldn't like the yo-yo. I didn't just buy them a yo-yo. I bought all of us yo-yos just for fun. Mm-hmm. Just this is what I grew up with. Because it was a game that brought us together rather than sent us our own directions.
When they were teenagers, did that still work?
Oh, absolutely. It was even more fun because when they were teenagers, they were really into the competition of some of these things.
Okay.
So the yo-yo thing or the jacks thing or whatever thing got very, very bring it on.
Mm-hmm.
And we have traditions like that. We still have a tradition that we actually we'll do during Christmas, but we did Thanksgiving when everybody's there. There's a game called Pigs, where you roll these rubber pigs, and however they land, you get points. And we always play girls against
really?
The boys. Oh, we had every adult from 12 years old up to 84 around a table standing for Pigs this year. And it comes to a playoff between a male and a female. It's usually me playing off with the youngest niece, but I manipulated my brother-in-law, who's a pastor in Tampa, to have my chair, and he knew what that meant. The loser has to go out back and put their head in the pool.
Oh.
So it was about 11 o'clock at night, and we all parade out.
How many times has your head gone in the pool?
My head has been in the pool many times. It is the tradition for us to keep playing over and over and over till I lose. So I put him in that spot, and he knew what that meant, and he's very naive. He's too nice, and he ended up with his head in the pool. But it's something everybody waits for. It's
right.
something everybody cheers for. That's a tradition mm-hmm. of family rather than everybody going their own places and play their own individualized games.
Mm-hmm.
Back as family. That's one of the traditions. But the other tradition is, what do we give to Jesus? What can we give to Jesus this year? And to be honest with you, many years it's a check to our church. We all talk about it and help our church because our church has been helping so many families and so many issues and dealing with so many things in this economy. I guarantee your church needs it. Other times, and there's just a great story that's become a story that we read in our family, and it's the story about the guy who was an inner city coach. Actually, he wasn't an inner city wrestling coach. He was a coach for a suburb team.
Cool.
Yeah, a team, an optimist team.
Mm.
And it's the year that the finals were in the inner city, and the kids from the inner city were on this wrestling team, and they had next to no uniforms and no ear gear. It was horrible, and it broke his heart watching his middle-class team go out there. And so he decided, he hated the commercialization of Christmas, and he decided his biggest gift was going to bypass the usual things to uncles and ties that nobody wanted and all these extended family and workplace, and send them each a note and say, I love you, instead of giving you one more thing you don't want, one more re-gift this year, in your name and in everybody's name, I'm going to outfit an inner city wrestling team.
Wow.
And he did that, and he watched these kids absolutely get jacked over their uniforms, and he didn't play them anymore, but he went to one of their matches to watch them in their new uniforms, new everything, just sat up in the stands from these inner city kids. And that became the tradition to do that. And on Christmas Eve, he would put an envelope in the tree, and everybody knew that envelope was Dad's money, and everybody contributed to Dad's money for the uniforms. And it was a pretty serious gift. It was the biggest gift the family gave.
Wow.
That dad died of a heart attack. And while they still had his children at home, and they came to their first Christmas without that dad, and without knowing of it, each family member, a son and who was the wrestler, and an older daughter home from college, and mom, came down for Christmas morning without him, and each found an envelope in the tree. They
wow.
had each put an envelope, that was their gift, in their dad's name.
Wow.
And that became a family tradition of giving back, of giving back. What are we giving? That was what the Magi did, and we've walked away from that. A Christmas tradition of giving something in the name of Christ. A Christmas tradition of finding a need, whether it's through your church, whether it's a single mom you know, whether it's a widow you know, whatever it is, deciding that you're going to touch what the Magi did. It's interesting, the Magi has no clue what Jesus did with that, with the family, with Joseph and Mary did.
Mm-hmm.
They only found out in heaven that it was used for the whatever year, maybe 12 years, we don't know, journey or trip, where they set up at Egypt until it was safe, till Herod died and they could come back. We have got to help our children refocus. Doesn't mean take the gifts away, but it does mean let's refocus and develop a Christmas tradition of giving back.
And you encourage the kids then to get involved, also for them to give of what their allowance, maybe the effort of making the cookies for someone else, getting involved, not just at the last minute to
right.
actually hand it over, but in the process of preparing it.
I think they ought to be involved in when they're little and they don't have a lot to give. I think at 1 year, many years, is the making of cookies. It was also the making of little cakes. It was the preparing of the house to invite the neighborhood in, who was some terrified to come to a Christian home. What's Barnes going to do that's going to freak us all out?
Yeah.
Helping the children be involved in that. As they got older, they realized that I was giving a financial gift. Rosemary and I were giving a financial gift. And starting, not Christmas Eve, starting ahead of time, what can we do financially, and where do we want to direct it? How do we want to give it?
And the kids would be involved in the choosing of it?
Yes. Obviously, sometimes you might want to redirect them, but we want to choose in a way that the glory goes to God.
Yeah.
Glory goes to God. There was nothing, there was no thank you that baby Jesus could give to those Magi, and they left town anyway, and ironically got no tax receipt.
Mm-hmm.
They just left town. I think helping the children, what will give the most glory to God, and what will remove the most glory from us? Developing a tradition of giving, not getting, of giving at Christmas time. Will help your children realize we are already getting, yes, we're getting trinkets and things we need, but we've already gotten the greatest gift. It was unwrapped that first Christmas. It was God coming in skin, approachable as a baby.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. This week, talking about managing your Christmas traditions. There's a lot of them in our families. And today, specifically talking about the tradition of giving gifts with meaning. So if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries and the resources available there, you can go online to shfm.org. If you enjoyed this broadcast and you want to share it with your spouse or with a fellow parent of yours, you can go online and do that at parentingtoday.org. You can listen to the broadcast again, read and sign up for the daily parenting blog, which comes to your email box every weekday. That's at parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow for more on this topic of managing your Christmas traditions right here on Parenting Today.